And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The countdown to puck drop continues, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. Welcome to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Mock Draft 2.0 edition. And today we're going to look back at the second annual NHL Fantasy on Ice draft, bargains, fades, all that fun stuff. Also, lots happening in NHL training camps right now, so we'll touch on the very latest. And was Patrick Kane skating in my backyard? That's the big time question. Stay tuned for that answer. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anna Dua with you. What's going on, Pete?
What's going on, Nick? Anna, great time as always on the Fantasy on Ice draft the other day. You can catch that on YouTube. You can find the results on nhl.com/fantasy. Remember, go to the cheat sheet. All the links are there for you. Some people are drafting in fantasy this week. And Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
I had to see Nick in person this past week. So if you want to see how that went down, you can rewatch our show. But thankfully, Nick is now back in Canada, far away from Pete and I. So we're ready to go for this podcast.
So my major league question to start things off. So I'm looking back at the draft picks. And again, this is happening in real time. It's tough to figure out in real time what's going on. Am I the only one who second guessed like all of Michael Liebhoff's picks, or are you guys in the same conversation here?
So, I mean, one big topic, right? He reached for Elias Pettersson in the first round. A lot of fans out there didn't like it. His reasoning was that he thinks he's a Hart Trophy contender, which is fair if Vancouver makes it. You know, the ceiling is high for him, and he was one of like, what, 8 to 10 players last year, Anna, that cracked 100-plus points. So maybe even some more improvement down the road from there. So, and again, if he's in shorthanded points type leagues, he takes an even bigger step forward. So I'm not going to defend that pick, but it was a little bit of a reach. But I can see the reasoning that Liebhoff had.
Before Anna jumps in, I'm going to be the defender of Michael Liebhoff. I don't want any trash talking on my boy Mike. He comes in here, does a great job. And you know what? He goes against the grain sometimes. All right. It's easy to take the chalk. Okay, Nick, Pete, hey, Anna, all chalkers. Liebhoff goes against the grain, and that's okay in my eyes.
He put himself out there. I'll give him that. But Nick, I don't know how you feel about this. I think fantasy hockey is like playing poker. And sometimes you got to play the man, not just play the game. Zero chance any of us were going to take Pettersson that early. So he could have grabbed him way, way later. Nick picked up some steals in this draft, by the way. Got to applaud him. I was pretty shocked. It's the lead up that Liebhoff gave that really threw me, where he was like, I didn't think this guy would be available. I thought he was going to get Kucherov right before me. Did not. So I'm not going to say anything because Bob just defended him, but he does deserve a tiny bit of slander on this podcast.
That's fair. A couple things. I will commend his boldness, as you guys just said. I'm not trash talking the picks. Again, I think lists are so subjective. Go with your heart. Go with your gut. If you like to see an EP40 at that pick, go ahead. And number two, Liebhoff's going to guest on this podcast in like a week from now. We're going to do a breakdown of the season. With anything you need to know from the betting world. So stay tuned for that. So we love you, Michael. Nonetheless, some of those picks, we'll get into them, Pete. But it was a fun draft. Again, some things came out of left field. But I think, you know, it was a unique way to draft some teams. I know we got some heat for only having 8 teams, but a lot of really good players went in our draft.
Definitely. And I think, you know, some people were saying, you know, oh, it's you know, what kind of a simulation is this? You know, some of these guys would never fall to the third round, like Kaprizov and Matthew Tkachuk. And that may be fair, but every draft is different, right? You could study the ADPs out there, and then some guy in your league who's a Leafs fan, like Steve Dangle, could take Austin Matthews at 3 over McKinnon and shake things up. Anna, you know, partial a little bit to the Hurricanes for good reason, and she took her two Hurricanes. And, you know, I made sure I got a Sabres guy, but like everybody's different. Everybody's approaching it differently. Some people might be more of a betting analyst, like Liebhoff, of course. Yep. Some people might be strictly fantasy or somewhere in between. So that's my like rebuttal to anyone who is saying anything negative about who took who and when and who fell too far in this draft.
I have to defend myself here because Pete just kind of called me out a little bit there. But I actually got these Hurricanes guys pretty late. And I feel like it's consensus across the board that even if you're not like me and aren't completely on the wagon for them winning the President's Trophy this year, the Carolina Hurricanes at the very least have to be a top 3 team to win the President's Trophy this year. So why are they falling that much in drafts, Nick?
It's because of the depth, and you don't know what their first line is. You don't know what their fourth line is. As I said during our live special there, it's very similar to the St. Louis Blues. And I think every year there's not really that bona fide stud for the Carolina Hurricanes. There's been Svechnikov. There's been Aho, guys like that. But there's never really a guy who's like a top 20 guy on a yearly basis. I'm happy we have you, Anna, because, again, picking apart some of the rounds. Round one, you were the first to jump on a goaltender. Ilya Sorokin, 9th overall. Can you explain the reasoning behind that?
Okay, well, Liboff was right after me. So get back to playing the player, not just strategical. Playing the game. His name was the Elianders. I knew he wanted to take this guy. Also, know your format. In this draft, we only had one goalie. Weren't allowed to draft more than that. I didn't want to take my chances with a guy like Ilya Samsonov. So I wanted to pick the guy I wanted to start it off. I was also the first person to take two defensemen. So I got all of those positions filled out because we have so much forward depth. So I like my strategy. Pete, do you want to chime in there?
I wanted to actually mention the Islanders because they're one of the few teams through all our season preview episodes, maybe outside of Sorokin, that we have barely talked about at all. But I was talking with Liboff and he brought up some big points, right? Like, they have that Barzal connection with Bo Horvat that prior to Barzal's injury last year, with Barzal on the wing, that was a nice little duo. And then you got Brock Nelson, 75 plus points and, you know, 40 goal capability, Nick, on the other line with a guy like Palmieri, who's a deep sleeper. It's not a team I'm flocking to in fantasy, but add in Noah Dobson, and they actually do have a decent offense very quietly.
I tread very carefully with the New York Islanders, and I'll be honest, I wasn't a big fan of their offseason. I feel like I'm going to be 65 years of age when they finally pick up that bona fide top six sniper. They've been linked to everybody and their mother, just haven't got anybody. I think to try to compete with the guns there, especially in that division in the Metro, it's going to be difficult. You can have the best goaltender on the planet. I just don't know if it's going to stick when you're relying on those guys you just mentioned. And I agree, like Brock Nelson is always a hidden gem for me in fantasy hockey. I think every year, Matthew Barzal, the last couple at least, has been leaving me wanting a bit more. Noah Dobson, I think, took a step back last year. Oliver Wahlstrom is a guy that we're looking at in the last couple of years to finally take that step. Like, there is potential, Anna, with this Islanders team. I just think in general, I stay away just because of the defensive-minded nature of that organization for the last, five, seven, 8 years here.
I'm completely staying away. It's Ilya Sorokin and everybody else. I like the positivity that Pete's bringing to this podcast early this morning, but come on, guys. The Eastern Conference is so much more competitive this season than it was even last season. So if you're drafting these guys that Nick just rattled off on the Islanders, you better be in a deep, deep league to be picking them up over people on teams like the New Jersey Devils or the Carolina Hurricanes.
Let's talk some potential fades since we're on that topic. And here are the names I pulled off. If you guys have any others, just looking back at the draft. So we talked about EP40 goes 7th. His ADP, 28.6. So then Liboff doubles down. He goes to Tim Stützle at 10th overall. ADP for him, 30.3. By the way, these are in Yahoo standard leagues. Go out and start your leagues right now over at Yahoo. Miro Heiskanen goes 17th overall. The first defenseman outside of Kale McCarr off the board. At 17, Johnny Lazarus, his ADP, 68. Mikhail Sergachev, guess who picked him? Your boy, Michael Liboff, 26th overall, ADP at 87.9. Vince Dunn to Steve Dangle at 46, ADP 98.6. And then Brock Nelson, again, Michael Liboff, 55th overall, ADP of 144.7. Again, ADP is not everything, Pete, but it's certainly something to look at when you draft your players.
Right. And this was a smaller draft. So the defenseman position was definitely prioritized because you had to have two of your eight picks be defensemen. Some people don't take that strategy, but I will advise in a regular 12-team draft, don't ignore this position. I've been trying to get two or three of these guys in the top 100, and I think you're going to have a big drop off if you miss out on them. Even some guys with my last pick, Anna, I took Seth Jones, which could be a liability in leagues that count plus minus to work against you. But I was also choosing between guys like Devon Taves and Chris Letang, who's on power play one with Carlson, and, you know, some of those guys, Alex Petrangelo, Shea Theodore, like, where after that ledge, there's a big drop off to the next tier of defensemen.
It's funny because last season I talked a lot about how it was the year of the fantasy defenseman because so many players like Josh Morrissey, Brandon Montour had these breakout seasons, and it seemed like even on the waiver wire, there were great options week after week. Not the case this year, guys. That is the most scarce position in fantasy hockey this season, which is why I doubled down and took two D-men back-to-back. I took Adam Fox and Rasmus Dahlin, and I was really happy with that because then I got to see Pete take Seth Jones later in the draft, and I was like, you know what? I cleaned out pretty well. So know your league, but absolutely prioritize defensemen this year.
Tons of strategy. I like that very much as we look now at some potential bargains. So Jason Robertson, Arto Ocal takes him 18th overall, his ADP of 8.4. You referenced Matthew Tkachuk. He went 20th overall to yours truly, ADP of 5.9. Kirill Kaprizov, love that pick, Pete, for you at 21st overall, ADP of 15.1. I still think Kaprizov is a guy, Pete, who can play like a top five fantasy player. Like, I'm not just saying that to pump your tires. I think he's got a lot of value. I think this is a really good pick.
Well, I actually think, you know, that was like a page out of your playbook, what I did. I just took the best player available. Yes. And when you start getting into reaches, then you can swing and miss, right? Jack Hughes at number five when I took him. Some people said it was a reach. Maybe it is because he hasn't put up, you know, 110 plus points in a season like some of the other guys have below him. So, you know, Nick, I thought, did a really good job cleaning up the mess when other people were reaching. He was just taking the best player available. And then when you sit back and look at it at the end of the draft, like arguably the most stacked team of anybody's was Nick's because he got all these guys later than usual.
Great strategy for Nick to just sit back and let stuff fall out to him. But I gotta say, I went through every single comment when we posted our first round picks. And the comment I saw the most, which goes to Nick's credit again, this is turning into the Michael Leboff, who's not even here, and Nick Alberga show, was where's Rantanen in the first round? So Nick, you took him 13th overall. And that's not that big of a drop off, but guys like Tim Stützle, Tage Thompson, and Pete even taking Brady Tkachuk over Rantanen. You got to give me an explanation, Nick, for yourself, but Pete, you're on the clock as well, because Brady Tkachuk over Rantanen was absolutely a bold move.
Yeah, so as you know, I got MacKinnon at four. I saw Rantanen there, and I think, you know, I'll be honest, Pete, that really wasn't my strategy for this draft, is to take the next player available. But when I see like absolute studs who get like 55 goals, like Braden Point sitting there in like the sixth round, you have to sort of take the risk. I don't even know if there's risk involved. Same with Matthew Tkachuk. Like, he's a guy everybody's talking about being a top 10 fantasy player to start this season, and he's still around at that pick. You make the pick. Ditto for Mikko Rantanen. Like, I think it's a different type of year where there seems to be a consensus top three picks. Of course, McDavid, Drysdale, and MacKinnon. Didn't happen in our draft. Matthews went third. I get it. There are some people high on him. But I'll say like 4 to 12 are very interchangeable, where I'm sure I'll see drafts where Mikko Rantanen's like 6th overall or 13th overall. But for him to drop to me at 13, I was really, really happy again. And we love our stacks here on this podcast, right, Pete? You put him with MacKinnon on my roster. I was feeling pretty good, I won't lie.
Absolutely. Second most even strength goals in the NHL last season for Rantanen. And he's one of those guys, even when the wheels fall off, right, and they tumble down the mountain a little bit like last year, Colorado, he's still there at the end of the day, near the top of the league in scoring and in goals. Every single time, whether Makar gets injured or MacKinnon misses 15, 20 games, all these different, you know, he has to shift to center sometimes. He's a pro at that as well. One of the most versatile players in the NHL low key is Rantanen. So, and it's the same thing with Robertson. Like, I'd probably take either of those guys in the first round. But then, you know, if you want to prioritize a certain player, sometimes that breaks the tie for you. So that was why I passed on, you know, one or two of those guys along the way.
First of all, I think we need to give Pete a little bit more credit for that pun about tumbling off the mountain for the Colorado Avalanche. That was like the dad joke of the year, Pete. Very proud of you for that one. Second, when we're talking about the Avs, something that I noticed and I got called out for on the show by Johnny Lazarus was I looked at my team after I drafted every single person and I realized that I drafted not a single player from a West Coast team. So is the Eastern Conference really that much deeper, or am I just like a terrible fantasy player and should be kicked off this podcast right away, Nick?
A bit of both, probably, to be honest. I think that's just the way things situate. Like, I don't know about you guys, every time I draft a fantasy roster, I have my guys that I go after, and more times than not, like Victor Hedman's on my roster, Andrei Vasilevsky. It's like favoritism, but it's also I know guys who have got me over that hump before, got me to the summit, if you will, every season. So I think your mind, your brain, and most fantasy owners can attest to this. Like, you're structured and you have people in mind and they seem to fall in your lap and you get them. But I would say the East is stronger. Like, I think if I were to pinpoint a potential cup winner, there's probably more in the Eastern Conference this year than there is the Western Conference. Having said that, there's some really good teams, and maybe it's teams that you look at, not so much players.
Right. And when you look at in the Eastern Conference, there are a lot of teams that even Pittsburgh, like you were so wrapped up with Carlson and how good Crosby's going to be this year. And you could find a couple of different examples. You could say that Erik Karlsson, based on what he did last year, he's not going to get the garbage points. He could be a fade because Chris Letang is in the equation. Evgeny Malkin could be a bargain. His ADP is 101.8, fresh off a point per game season. He's still as good as ever, and he's center only, but it doesn't matter. I would still take Gino anytime out of the top 75 overall. And then, yeah, Chris Letang, like you could view it as that. Like Karlsson could get injured, and then Letang maybe is healthy and he's available outside the top 100. So even on a single team, that whether you like them or don't like them, it's like you could find different angles for bargains and fades.
Since we started recording the season preview episodes, I've been keeping track of the players mentioned the most, and Karlsson is beyond the leader in the clubhouse as far as mentions go, and I'm tired of hearing about this guy. I'm fading this guy. I'm so tired of hearing about Erik Karlsson. I mean, we saw it with Burns when he was with a top line defenseman. Yeah. The other guy that Nick knows I'm fading, who also was taken by Liboff in this draft, is the one and only Connor Bedard.
I was a little puzzled. What did he go, like 25th? Something around there.
Right. And I did specify that it's a non-keeper league. So, I mean, you're out to dry there if a couple injuries around him or guys don't pan out. I mean, that roster that Chicago has built is a shell compared to three quarters of the league. So you just run that risk with him. But I will say with Bedard, whether you take him in the first round in a keeper league or the fifth round like I did in another mock draft, guys, I got him like 52 overall. Like if you fast forward a week or two into the season and this guy has 20 points in his first 10 games, like everyone in your league is going to want him and they're not going to be able to have him. So that's like why you jump in to the pool there and expose yourself a little bit if it goes wrong, but you kind of build it up so that if you're right, you're laughing at the end of the day.
I was in the best position in this draft because I was either right after or right before Liboff. So I got to see him take Bedard. And just for fun for our listeners, I thought I'd rattle off who I took after Bedard: Adam Fox, and then Dahlin. And then Liboff hit me with Sergachev, but after him went Karlsson, Ottinger, Shesterkin, Vasilevsky. So I don't know what his draft strategy was here, guys. I don't think Connor Bedard should be going this high. But also, Bob's hatred for this kid is quite concerning to me. I'm not going to lie.
Hatred for Bedard?
Non-believer.
I just think he's on a team that doesn't have much to offer. I still think he's a kid. I think he's going to be a great, great, great player. I just am worried about year one, and I would take the under on the point total. I've said it 50 million times, and I wouldn't draft him on my fantasy team. But listen, I wasn't a part of the mock draft. I wasn't invited to be a part of it. So what does my opinion really matter, Anna? But at the end of the day, we're hyping this kid up like he's a 10-year vet and he's going to have 100-plus points. He's a young kid. You got to adjust to life. You got to adjust to the circumstances. You're living in Chicago. It's not that easy.
I don't know if he likes the pizza there, but I think it's tough for you because I'm in this hotbed here in Toronto, and I've seen Connor Bedard play since he was 14, and I can tell you he's special. I remember when Crosby came up. I remember when McDavid came up. This guy's of the same cloth. I'm telling you right now, and I know it was prospects tourney, but that shot, he might have the best release in hockey right now, and he's 18.
One of the things I've been doing throughout the last few weeks is I've been making personal wagers with folks around the office. We've been putting pastrami sandwiches on these bets. So I have a pastrami sandwich with all three of you guys. I'm going to be eating three pastrami sandwiches.
That's a lot.
At the end of the season in April, right, when Connor Bedard is under the point total. And I'm also going to say this. How many games is this kid going to play? How many games is he going to play? He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be in the lineup. And I just don't know if it's going to happen. That's all. I mean, I'm rooting for the kid, but I just think the hopes are a little too high. That's enough Bedard conversation, by the way. I'm done with Bedard.
What's the line on Bedard? Do we know it?
Well, I think that the point total is in the 70s or the high 60s or something like that.
We're holding you to this this year. This is big.
Right. I would take him in the low 60s. I mean, mid 60s, 70s, no shot. I think it's like 69 or so.
Nice.
Okay. Anna. I have a theory, and it's not confirmed, but I will die on this hill. I think everyone who's taking the under on Bedard is an American, and everyone who's taking the over on Bedard is a Canadian. You can confirm across everything, but this podcast, actually, Pete gives Bedard enough credit that he deserves. So, honorary Canadian here, but Bob has a little bit of American bias here, I gotta say.
Yeah. No offense to the three of you. You don't know what's up. Anna, you know what's up. Connor Bedard, just watch out. Pete knows what's up, actually. You've been pumping Connor Bedard for a while. Let's get to a listener question brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. Anna, you're going to like this one, so you get the first crack at it. Svechnikov got him in the ninth round of a 10-man league. I think he's such a sleeper. You know, because of the year last year, because of the injury, because of the Carolina Hurricanes and their depth, people are sort of sleeping on Svechnikov. What's your feel on him?
Everyone knows what my feel is on him. If you listen to 1 second of this podcast ever in your life, the guy's a stud. He's a talented player. He has such a high individual ceiling. He's younger than me, so he has ways to go in this league. And he's recovering well from his surgery. He's probably going to be ready to go at the start of the season if anyone's concerned there. And he has category coverage, can get hits across the board. And I've talked about this a lot. Pete jumped on Brady Tkachuk so quickly. That was a guy that he really wanted because a lot of people are so high on Brady Tkachuk right now. And in my eyes, Andrei Svechnikov is a really comparable player to Brady Tkachuk that you can get way later in your drafts. But he has pretty much very similar metrics. Like I said, in Brady Tkachuk had 275 points in 360 games. Andrei Svechnikov right behind him with 264 points in 347 games. So they're very, very similar players. And I don't understand why all of the hype around Brady Tkachuk just hasn't spread to this guy.
Svechnikov is coming off a shredded knee, Anna, just so you know that. You know that, right?
Bob's a doctor.
I do, and as someone who's had a knee injury, I'm telling you,
here we go.
Sometimes you can bounce back, Bobby. You can bounce back, and I see it.
Shredded knee. So
you see him tearing it up in the gym? Did you see him tearing it up in the gym during recovery? The guy's ready to go.
I've been talking to the orthopedic surgeons and the doctors.
Sources.
My sauces. Shredded knee, not easy. Not
pastrami sandwich on this one too, on this one as well.
Pete, what say you?
Dr. Dua chimes in. I love it. So I would say that the reason why I reached for Tkachuk where I did is like almost 350 shots last year, you know, top 10, top 15 every year in hits. I agree with you. It's the same categories that he covers. I think Brady just does it a slight clip above in those two particular categories, which gets me more excited and more willing to reach on him. But yeah, Svechnikov, I said it on the YouTube show. I mean, like if he's out there with Sebastian Aho, now you're talking about his ceiling. If he's out there with Jesperi Kotkaniemi, then you're talking about somewhere in between with some injury risk. And that's why like someone might reach for him and then he could be a fade based on if he's going too high. And if he falls and plummets in your draft, then he could be a bargain. So Svechnikov is one of those weird guys where like he could go any which way in your draft. So I might just stay away there.
It's all about line assignment. I also want to give some tip of the cap, if you will, to Johnny Lazarus for taking Roope Hintz, 48th overall, ADP of 26.3. I don't know what it is, Anna. People look at that name and that player and they steer clear, and then Johnny just cleans up the mess the way he did in the draft.
I don't know why they do, even during the playoffs. When Dallas was making their playoff run last year, no one's talking about Hintz, even though he's having great nights night after night. The Dallas Stars, in my eyes, are the team that attracts me the most in the Western Conference as well. Hintz, bona fide stud. Love Jason Robertson. Ottinger, great goalie. Heiskanen, the list goes on and on. But Hintz was probably their most impressive forward throughout the playoffs last season and doesn't get enough credit for that. So, like, I hate complimenting Johnny on this podcast, but I got to tip my hat to him because that was a great pickup.
And even late rounds, like Wyatt Johnston was tied for the rookie lead with Beniers and goals last year. Nobody talks about him. I know Chris Meany wanted to chime in on him, but we ran out of time on the episode he was on. So I'll give him a little bit of love here on the bargains episode. And rookie sleeper Logan Stankoven, so far so good in the preseason. And training camp wise, guys, this is where it gets exciting. This is where you see some new blood, right? The young kid on the top line, difficult name to pronounce. I'm not gonna swing and miss like Satriano maybe, but it's interesting dynamic to see what
take
he could do maybe
take
with
a shot
with Ovechkin. And then the kid Benson in Buffalo's on power play one. Like, this is where it gets really exciting for some of these rookies scratching the surface in training camp.
Yeah, you talk about rookies. Columbus's new top six: Gaudreau, Jenner, Marchenko, Texier, Fantilli, and Laine. So suddenly we're starting to see some value develop. And as people do their fantasy drafts, I think you have to keep in mind like deployment, line assignment, where some of these rooks, I mean, It's hilarious. We haven't even started the season, Pete, and already we have our goal of the year down under. Logan Cooley, I'm really excited about the rookie crop. I know we talk at nauseam, it's seemingly about Connor Bedard, and rightfully so, producer Bob Bender. But there's actually, a bunch of other rookies in this class, believe it or not, Bob.
Listen, since you mentioned his name, I just want to, for clarity purposes and informational purposes, as the producer of the show, DraftKings is now offering a point total 69.5 points. So I wasn't far off. Wow. While FanDuel is at 67.5. Both of those numbers, I would take the under. I have 3 pastrami sandwiches on it right now with you guys. Everyone's in on that bet? Because I'm going to be eating 3 pastrami. My whole meal plan for April,
it already
when the
is.
Season is over, during the playoffs, I'll be sitting down pastrami sandwiches because I'm going to win that bet. I promise
you. I don't
want
a pastrami sandwich if I win, though. I want a whole lunch catered from just every restaurant in Manhattan.
You could pick your own sandwich. My choice is a pastrami sandwich or a nice Reuben, okay?
Montreal smoked meat sandwich. How about that? I'll take that. But you're on for that bet. I thought the number was going to be a bit higher. I'm still looking at the over. So, Pete, any general thoughts on some of these, line assignments with some of the rooks? Like you mentioned Stankoven, Benson. It is relatively early, mind you, in training camp. I still can't believe we're 2 weeks away from puck drop on the regular season. But at the very least, you should be keeping close tabs on, a younger player potentially coming out of nowhere to make a roster, right?
Right, and I'll give it a try here. Washington's new top liner, Ivan Moroshnichenko. I mean, maybe Ovi's going to take him under his wing. We'll see. Oh, there's a huge gap. There are two teams out there that have an enormous gap last year from their top scorer to their second best scorer. Washington with Ovechkin to the next guy and Pasternak to the next guy. And that was when they had Bergeron and Krejci. Oh my goodness. I mean, they're going to miss a lot of those guys in ways we won't understand until the season's, 15, 20 games in. But I at least like to see the new wrinkle with a new coach in Washington. Maybe they could spice things up a little bit here and revitalize some of the players in that top six.
Yeah, speaking of spice, I don't know if you saw Evgeny Kuznetsov and his thoughts for the previous head coach of the Washington Capitals. Threw him under a massive, massive bus. But it's interesting. I mean, I think the top six could be a bit different in Washington. And I would love to ask Bob, because he's a resident knee expert. Max Pacioretty, you completely fading this guy this year once he comes back?
Max Pacioretty, he's still in the league, this guy? He's still in the league? I haven't heard about
him. What's wrong with his knee, too?
I like Max Pacioretty when he's actually playing, but I heard a lot about him last year, and he comes in for one game, right? What did he play? One game, two games, and then he got injured again? Yeah, so
I think he scored 3 goals in 5 games and then had another Achilles injury, right? I mean,
right. So he won't be on my team. He's not on my team.
I'm taking Sage to North Carolina before the season starts, just going around PNC Arena and saging that entire arena, because that was just brutal luck. I like Max Pacioretty, though. People forget when he's playing, he's pretty much a point per game guy, and he's going to get the opportunity in Washington if he's healthy and better conditions there, hopefully, for him.
That was my attempt at a segue for, I think, our biggest topic of the podcast outside of Michael Leboff. Patrick Kane. So video services of Patrick Kane. He's skating. I can't confirm or deny. Could be in my backyard of Oakville, Ontario. Will not confirm or deny that. But my best bets, looking at the beautiful world of the salary cap, unless somebody just figures out and finds $5, $6, $7 million per season, who knows? But Detroit or Buffalo is my best bet for Patrick Kane, unless he takes a $1 million deal. So DeBrincat, Larkin, Kane, Skinner, Thompson, Kane. I'm talking about injury stashes, right? Max Pacioretty's a guy I've identified. Patrick Kane, would you go after him, Pete?
I would, and I would, hope that he goes to Buffalo. I've been chirping about that for years now. He's from there. The Sabres are good again. He could still factor into the top six and the first power play, right? Last year it was Cousins, this year so far Benson, but they have even more guys, young guys, that are going to factor in. It's an exciting young team with some robust offensive talent that I think he would fit in well as a leader alongside a guy like Tuck and take that team forward to maybe win a playoff round.
That Kane footage was released by the agent, right? His agent and the agency that represents him. The funny thing is, if you actually spent the time to watch that entire clip, at the end of it, there's a quick second of him with buffalo wing sauce all over his face with blue cheese dripping down his mouth. The guy's going to Buffalo. He is headed to Buffalo. Yeah, and he doesn't care how much money he's getting paid. He's going to Buffalo. I don't know if it's the right move for Buffalo, but that's where he wants to go, Anna.
Are those your sources again telling us that, or what? What's the deal here?
My sources, okay, saw the jump cut with all the Buffalo. Like, he was at Wing Nuts. He was at Gabriel's Gate. He was at all the spots in Buffalo eating his wings. That's where he's going to be, Anna, no doubt.
So if anyone's keeping track so far on this episode, Bob knows Patrick Kane's agent as well as Andrei Svechnikov's surgeon. So just if there's a place you want to go for your information, guys, it's absolutely Bob Bender. That's what I'm gathering here. But yeah, I agree with everyone. He's going to Buffalo. It's a great team. It's a young team. He could be a leadership figure in that locker room. He has the experience. And Buffalo's so underrated. The city's a vibe. The city gets hate too. People are like, no one wants to play in Buffalo. It's kind of a vibe. Western New York is back, guys.
Why is he skating in Toronto, though?
Because he wanted to spend time with you, Nick.
Pretty much. But, like, I don't know. I just can't
pretty
see
close by.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there. I mean, you act like Toronto is across the country. I mean, it's a hop, skip, and a jump away from Buffalo. And, yeah, there's better ice in Toronto, obviously. But the wings that he was eating were straight from Buffalo.
Okay, so we'll write that one down. There's like a laundry list of things we have to document. And if you need line bypass to any club, you can call Bob Bender as well. So he's got you set up for life. But that's the intrigue for me, Pete. Like, how early is too early for Patrick Kane? So he's skating, but like coming off hip surgery. I'm no doctor. I can't anticipate him coming back in the first month. Maybe mid-November, like that's my guesstimate. But how early is it is too early to jump in a non-keeper, we'll say, on Patrick Kane?
I would say outside the top 150, but the beauty of the situation is like you could pick him up and it is an injury. So I believe you could stash him, right? So in an IR spot, it's not like he's just unsigned UFA, not active in Yahoo. He should be injury eligible. So I like that move. I'll probably do that in one of my drafts and stash him if he ends up back with the Rangers. If he ends up on the top six for Buffalo, I'll be reaping the rewards a month or two into the season, hopefully.
That would be nasty. Skinner, Thompson, and Kane. There used to be another Kane with the Buffalo Sabres, as we all remember. Anna, let's talk about contract year. Jake Guentzel back skating after ankle surgery. Doesn't sound like he's close, but again, the current top line for the Pens, Crosby, Raquel, and Rust, obviously they're missing a guy like Guentzel. His ADP of 67.1. I think he has enough potential to be a top 25 fantasy player again. Contract year, back-to-back 35-plus goal seasons. Are you feeling Jake Guentzel this season, Anna?
He kind of flies under the radar, too. I think I think he's a player that's going to fall in a lot of drafts, so he could be a big bargain in your fantasy leagues. But if you're not sold on the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I'm 50-50, my thought process on the Penguins is this. I don't think they're going to be the world's greatest regular season team. If they sneak into the playoffs, it's going to be barely making it in there. But if they make it to the postseason, that's where I think you get your value on maybe a futures for the Penguins, because once they're in there, they can do some damage. In the regular season, though, if he falls to me in a great position, I'll pick him up. But maybe I wait for a guy like Riley Smith instead, who can benefit a little bit from this new environment, and I can get him really, really late in drafts.
Before we get to Pete, got some business to clean up. The Jake Guentzel comment is powered by our good friends at Skip, the official food delivery provider of the NHL. Our boy Adam Darby, just with the Jake Guentzel. Nothing else. He just comments Jake Guentzel. So we got to give him some credit, Peter.
Right. And anytime you could, you know that a guy's only going to miss a couple of games, but a lot of people are scared off because of the injury concern, that almost automatically makes someone a fantasy bargain because they'll go later than they would have been had they been healthy. Couple other teams, guys, that have caught my eye when I look at the ADPs: Nashville, Columbus, and Seattle. Seattle only has one guy, Vince Dunn, in the top 100, but a ton of relevant guys in fantasy. You could get Philip Grubauer like 160 in your draft or something, and he has a chance to have 30 wins, even if his save percentage isn't great because he's the clear number one guy. Philip Forsberg, ADP 138, coming off an injury, but you know, hopefully he can play close to a full season. And then the whole shakeup with this Columbus situation, you know, Babcock's not there anymore. We're not going to get into that, but I actually like the talent on this team and they're going to fly under the radar here.
Since you're talking about Columbus and we're talking about injuries, you guys set me up really, really well to bring up this player who everyone has forgotten about. I don't even know if we've mentioned him at all leading up to this season, but he deserves to be mentioned. Zach Werenski. what are you doing with this guy? Because at his best, he's a great defenseman with a very high ceiling, could be one of the best defensemen in the NHL. His injuries have kind of made him long gone and long forgotten, but he's going to be on power play one with all of these guys in Columbus that we're so excited about, Nick.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a steal. I've been consistent in saying Zach Werenski is a guy who could easily play like your top defenseman. Like, I believe in him that much. Having said that, you know how I feel on like the Johnny Gaudreaus of the world, the Patrick Laine specifically of the world. I fade Laine every year and I'm happy about it. I understand he puts numbers up, but the consistency is just not there for me on an everyday basis. I mentioned a couple weeks back, like the name Elvis Merzlikins coming off a terrible, terrible season. I think Columbus at the very least, Pete, will be better defensively, but especially if you look at Werenski, he just means so much to that team. I thought their season clearly was finished as soon as Werenski got hurt last year. So assuming full health, assuming he's good to go, I like a bit of a bounce back here for Columbus in general, and specifically, obviously, Werenski.
They will bounce back and improve by 5 to 10 wins. Probably will still miss the playoffs. But yeah, Werenski has some more support behind him too on defense, whether it's Severson, Provorov, the rookie, if he plays, Yiracek. I like what they have going on the roster right now. Werenski was top 15 among defensemen in points per game 2 seasons ago, has dealt with injuries almost every year. So he's definitely a risk, but I can put my head on the pillow and sleep well knowing that I take that risk outside the top 150, not like inside the top 75 or 100 overall, like he's been ranked in previous years.
I like it. Let's go back to Skip for one more here. Bargain Barabanov, Luke writes in, fading DeBrincat. I'll be honest, Anna, the one name I was sort of interested in seeing not being taken in our draft the other day was Alex DeBrincat. And I understand, like, it's a league where you think back to the previous season, but, like, going into last year, Alex DeBrincat was, a top 40 fantasy player. Now, all of a sudden, he's like an afterthought, not even being taken in a 68-player draft. So I think DeBrincat, he's happy, he's home, he's playing with Larkin. I think he could have a monster season here.
Yeah, I like his line placement. We talked a lot about that with Larkin and Lucas Raymond. So that first line for the Detroit Red Wings really excites me, and I think it's a good opportunity for DeBrincat. I'm not high on the Red Wings this season, though, which is my only wave of caution. We had these questions all throughout the offseason of whether you like Vladimir Tarasenko on Ottawa more or DeBrincat more on Detroit. And I'm still on the Tarasenko side of things, and he also wasn't taken. So maybe it's just a little bit of bias because I'm full steam ahead on the Senators this season. But I would go with Tarasenko over DeBrincat just personally for me because I like that team more.
I was a little concerned about what happened last year, not to mention the fact that he's been traded in consecutive off seasons, which begs the question if things go downhill in Detroit, they're not that good to start the season. Is he going to remain happy there? We'll see. We'll cross that bridge if we get there. But minus 31, half of his points almost came on the power play last year with 30 out of 66. So I'm just a little concerned about the depth in Detroit, and I don't think they're a playoff team yet. So I would probably think that was appropriate that he didn't go. I think he's top 75 overall, but I'm not that surprised that he didn't go in the mock draft.
Peter backing off his stance last year. Oh, Red Wings, Red Wings, right? And guy was coming in with the Red Wings jersey and the hat. Stevie, why now? No, nope, not a playoff team. Not into the Red Wings this year, huh, Peter? It's rare where Pete backs off his stance. I mean, this guy was all over the Instagram and the Twitter last year. Red Wings, Red Wings, Red Wings. Now nothing, not a peep.
Well, I wasn't encouraged by what I saw last year, and I don't like the moves that they made this offseason. Like, you have young defensemen like Seider and Edvinson. Why are you going out and getting guys like Jeff Petrie and Shane Gostisbehere? I mean, Petrie will help defensively, but Shane Gostisbehere is not going to help you defensively, Nick?
No. Hey, listen, we're going to have to put a bow on it. Before we do, we want to thank Skip, of course, always. Thank you so much, Skip. Just want to let everyone know, the person that comes in last place here in this mock draft that we did, go check it out on YouTube, okay? The links are there. We had a great group of people. You know, we just spent about a half an hour dissecting the draft, but go back and watch it. The person that comes in last place, here's the deal. They have to go out to dinner by themselves to a very high-end restaurant. They'll be dining by themselves, and they'll have to bring 4 guests with them. The 4 guests are going to be stuffed animals. They're going to be sitting at the table with 4 stuffed animals beside them. And Bruce Bennett, the Hall of Famer, the photographer, he's going to be there capturing the moment of this dinner with the four best friends, the stuffed animals. So that is what the stakes are. And I don't know who's going to come in last, but right now, if I'm placing a wager, I think Anna Dua, come April, ooh, she's going to be at dinner with her four stuffed animal friends, Mario, Yoshi, Princess Peach, and who's the and Luigi.
How about Bowser?
So there you have it. And Bowser might be there too. So there you go. You have something to look forward to, Anna.
First of all, so rude. I'm absolutely going to slay and dominate this league. But if I don't, I already have my stuffed animal friends ready. And they're from every NHL event I've been to, guys. So it would be kind of cute, low-key.
Okay, so maybe it works out. Yeah. I was also going to ask Bob to wrap, since he knows everybody. Do we have an update on Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale? And the only reason why I ask, check out NHL Backstory. More time for Zegras and Drysdale to check out a series of podcasts highlighting the Anaheim Ducks and how they came to be, right?
Oh, NHL Backstory. You know what else you need to plug? NHL at the Rink. They had the Tkachuk brothers on. Brady, Matt, nice. They get into it a little bit. Great. It's a good episode. Go check it out. And, listen, we might as well do Darren Millard, too. He's got Cole Caulfield and Tom Wilson on this week. So
he's producing that podcast.
The league is about to get underway. The NHL action is about to get underway. So enjoy the content and enjoy the weekend. All right. We'll talk next week. Put a bow on it.
That's producer Bob Bender for Pete Jensen and Anna Dua. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.